near Isaac, an old man. How old was he? He was in the neighborhood of about 137 years. Isaac, he knew that he was old, and in this he likewise suffered that infirmity that many people receive when they get old, their eyes become dim. So it was with Isaac. He couldn't see. It is probable that if at that time they had glasses, he might have been able to see. In this respect, God has blessed mankind with this blessing that even children that they can't see too well, they from infancy already wear glasses. Likewise, elderly people, they wear glasses. And it's no sin, it's no crime to wear glasses. They're beneficial unto mankind. It's a blessing of God that he has given these things. And Isaac, he could not see because of his age. And Isaac, he spake unto his son that he knew not the day of his death. There are many of us that are not too old, and we hope that we shall live yet a time upon this earth. But as Isaac said, I know not the day of my death, so it can be said of every one of us, whether we be young or whether we be old. We know not the time, the moment, that we will have to die. Old people, we know, they are creeping towards the grave. But young people, they fall into it very suddenly, very quickly sometimes. Life is very short sometimes for people. God cuts them down in the flower of their youth. How many are not being cut down in the way of accidents, in the way of afflictions, in the way of heart attacks, in the way of strokes? God speaks in this to every one of us. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. We find Isaac, he was exercised about the day of his death. We that are young and think we're going to live a while yet, we're not exercised about this. We're careless about this. We think we're going to live a long time yet, and we know not. We are uncertain, too, about the time that we have to die. But you that are elderly amongst my hearers, you who are old and who know that soon the time will come, are you exercised about this most important matter? It's a certainty. Death is certain, the hour very uncertain. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and thereafter judgment. How necessary to be prepared in this short space of time for that long, long eternity to which we are traveling. All those of you that are old and are unprepared, all may you be given yet to seek a hiding place in him who has said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, even if he were dead, yet shall he live. What a mercy if we are found in this precious Jesus in this life. In him we are safe for that hour that every one of us shall have to pass through. He has conquered death. He has triumphed over death. He arose, and he sits at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Oh, may you all be given to seek him in this life and find him to be the resurrection and the life unto you. As he triumphed over death, actually and naturally, so he must triumph over that death in which you and I are by nature. We are dead in trespasses and sins, and we cannot raise ourselves up out of this death. Christ must overcome this death in us by instilling us in us a new life. He has said, I give my sheep eternal life, and not one of them shall perish. And if you may be a recipient of this wonderful life, This life that God gives so freely, so graciously, without any money, without any price, without any asking sometimes. He just takes possession of a sinner and puts that life into their souls. If you have that grace in you, then you, when you come to die, will be where Abraham is, where Isaac is, and where Jacob is, of whose history we are now beginning to speak. Isaac then, he said unto his son, that he should go into the field and hunt for venison, and bring it back, and prepare him savory meat, such as I love, that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee. Isaac, he loved his son Esau. And Esau, he had prepared so many times such savory meat for him that he again and again had a taste for this. And now he was exercised about his death, and he would like to bless Esau, his firstborn, with the blessing that he was to have had he not sold his birthright. But now, Isaac knew this, and still he loved Esau, and he was going to bless him, irrespective of though he did sell his birthright. Now, this was Isaac's plan, but it was not God's plan. And now he went into the field to hunt for venison. But Rebekah, his mother, she heard how that Isaac had spake unto her son Esau, and had said that he should go into the field and hunt for this venison, and that when he brought it back and prepared it, why then he would bless him. She calls Jacob, and she said unto Jacob, Jacob, I overheard your father speaking this way, and now listen to me. Do as I command you to do. You go unto the flock, and get two kids of goats, and bring them to me. And I will prepare savory meat such as your father loves. And then you take in this meat to your father, and that he may bless you before he dies. You see, Rebekah was intent on Jacob receiving the blessing. Rebekah was entirely wrong in this. Rebekah knew that God had prophesied to her that the elder shall serve the younger. She likewise had known that in and through Jacob, that God would continue his blessing that he had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and now also to Jacob. So Jacob was the one that had been chosen by God to receive the blessing. And now when Isaac was going to bless Esau, she got this plan in her mind to have Jacob blessed in a fraudulent way. And therefore, she was wrong. She was dishonest. Had she the grace of God in exercising her soul, she would have went to her husband. She would have went to Isaac. She would have said, listen, Isaac, such and such is the case. You know that before even the children were born, God said to me that the elder would serve the younger. And now you know, too, that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, and that Esau is not the one that is to receive the blessing for Jacob. But why not leave it in God's hands and see which one God is going to bless, rather than that you bless Esau? But she didn't do this. She didn't commit her way unto God. She had this plan of her own. Now, although this was wrong and it was sinful, God worked out his counsel and his purposes by it. And as she spake unto Jacob, that he should go into his father with this meat that she was going to prepare. But now Jacob, he said unto his mother, Mother, he says, Esau, he's a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. And peradventure, my father will feel me, and then he will know that I am a deceiver. And instead of a blessing, I will receive a curse. We see in this that Jacob likewise was not exercised with the sin that he was going to do. He was just exercised about being found out by his father. That's what he was worried about. Now, if he hadn't had the grace of God, as the commentary says, I don't go along with this, but anyway, if he had, and he had to be honest, he would have went to his mother and said, Mother, listen, if I'm going to have the blessing, God will bless me. You don't have to do this. You don't have to try to deceive Father. And you don't have to send me with his clothes on and with this meat. Because if God intends to have me blessed, I will be blessed. Let us leave it in the hands of God. Jacob didn't say this at all. Jacob, he listened to his mother. And his mother said to him, you do as I command you. And if you receive a curse, your curse be upon me, my son. You see, Rebekah was left to herself to do this. And Jacob, he was prompted by his mother to go ahead with this. Jacob, he was afraid that his father may find him out. He was not afraid that God saw him, that God knew what they were doing. He had no idea at this time that the eyes of the Almighty was upon him, for then he would have not went through with what his mother suggested. But his mother, she prepared savory meat, and she made bread, and she took goodly raiment out of her house, which was of Esau's, and she put them upon her son Jacob, and she took the skins of the kids of the goats, and she put them around his neck and around his hands. And she put the meat in his hand and the bread in his hand and said, go now. And he went in to his father. And he said unto his father, arise, father, and eat of thy son's venison, for I have done as thou hast bade me to do. And now Isaac, he said unto him, who art thou, my son? I am Esau, he says, thy firstborn. Well, my son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? The Lord thy God did give me to find it. See in this the deceit, the lies that Isaac was guilty of in this. First, saying that he was Esau. Secondly, that when his father questioned him how that he had found it so quickly, he brings in God yet. God, his God, Isaac's God, had given him to find it so quickly. And thirdly, it was not venison. It was goat's meat, which his mother had prepared so savory that he would have never discerned the difference. Now this man, Jacob, standing before his father, if he had had a conscience and it was speaking, I think he was trembling. I think he was scared so that his father might detect him. And because of this, his father said unto him, come near unto me, my son. Let me feel thee. So he came near unto him, and he felt him. And he says, the hands are Esau's hands, but the voice is Jacob's voice. So he did not discern him. He had it right. He knew that it was Jacob's voice. But because his hands were hairy, therefore, he decided that he was wrong and that it was Esau. And now he said unto his son, bring the venison unto me, that I may eat thereof, and that I may bless thee. And now Jacob, he brought this meat to his father, and wine and bread, and his father sat down to eat it. and he ate of it. And he said unto Jacob, Come near unto me, my son, and kiss me. I think Jacob was trembling within when he had to come near to his father and he had to kiss him. But he went to him and he kissed him. And Isaac smelled of the smell of his raiment, which was the smell as of the field. And he said unto Jacob, Now the smell of my son is as of a field that the Lord hath blessed. God bless thee with the dew of heaven, and with the fatness of the earth, and with much corn and wine. And let people serve thee, and nations bow down unto thee, and be thou Lord over thy brethren. And he who curseth thee, let him be cursed. And he who blesseth thee, let him be blessed. This was the blessing that Isaac spake out over his son Jacob, thinking that he was Esau.
All my hearers, I was studying this a little bit, and this came to me. That this man Jacob, what was he? He was a liar. He was a deceiver. He was a sinner in the sight of God. This is what he was doing even to his own father.
And now, irrespective of this, God spake by the mouth of Isaac such wonderful blessings out over this young man. I shouldn't say young man, because he was about 75 years of age, Jacob. We see in this the sovereignty of God, irrespective of his sins, of his lies, of his deceit, he was going to be blessed. This goes, my hearers, for you and I. Irrespective of what we have done in life, if God has a purpose of mercy, of salvation to our souls, he doesn't reckon with our sins, but he goes on with his purposes. All the wonderful blessings spoken out to this young man. His father smelled him, and his smell of his garment was as a field that the Lord had blessed. His clothes had this smell upon them. My hearers, if we may be of the seed of Jacob, spiritually, then as his father's smelled Jacob, thinking it was Esau, so God receives the wonderful odor of the righteousness of Christ, which is upon each and every one that hath been chosen unto salvation. Although you may not know it, although you may not be given to believe that you are covered with this righteousness, you are still covered with it from all eternity. And God beholds you with this. And this is a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God, that he sees and smells this wonderful work of Christ being applied to you, and you clothed with this righteousness. He likewise spake unto him that he would be blessed with the dew of heaven. Jacob, he would then receive the Spirit of God, and this Spirit of God is as dew. It is the Lord himself that says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. The dew in the east was a great blessing that God gave unto these countries, which did not receive too much rain. And this dew fell copiously during the night, and it soaked the earth so that when they awoke in the morning, it was as if it had rained. It penetrated so into the ground. And this was very beneficial for the vegetables and the crops that were planted in the ground, because they did not get too much rain. Now, as this dew descended, especially in the summertime, as so the dew of heaven descends when it's summertime with the soul. Oh, how wonderful are the exercises of the Spirit of God in a sinner's soul. Oh, how penetrating, and how it likewise softens and it melts. It breaks the stony and the rocky heart to pieces, and it gives a sinner such wonderful feelings of love, of affection to God, who draws the soul with the cords of love. Oh, this wonderful dew, my hearers, which seems at times not to fall, when many of the dear children of God are so barren and so cold and so lifeless and so prayerless, then suddenly this dew begins to descend, and suddenly the soul that was a barren wilderness immediately becomes a fruitful field, begins to blossom like the rose. Oh, the exercises then, when this spirit takes hold of a person, it is just as the dew descending upon the ground. Do you know anything thereof, my hearers? Have you ever experienced anything of this dew coming down upon your soul, melting you and humbling you before this great and glorious God in heaven above? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to be blessed as Jacob was blessed, to have the righteousness of Christ upon us, and to be blessed with the dew from heaven. He would likewise be blessed with the fatness of the earth. Providentially, God would bless him, and he would have plenty. We find him expressing this in the 39th chapter, when he's returning back from being with Laban so many years. And then we find Jacob saying unto God in prayer, with my staff I passed over this river, Jabbok, and now I am become as two bands. I am unworthy of all the mercies and the love and the grace that thou hast shown unto thy servant. Seeing this, how this, what was spoken to him by his father, was fulfilled, that he likewise received of the fatness of the earth, that he had plenty. Even when Esau came to him and said unto him that he did not need the gift that Jacob had sent unto him, then Jacob said he had everything. Not only had he been blessed with natural blessings, but he had a God for his soul, who he had seen face to face, and his soul had been preserved. Jacob then, under this blessing of Isaac, was richly blessed even here with these promises that would take place in his life. He likewise would be blessed in this, that from him would come forth the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. For out of Jacob shall the Shiloh come. This, that Isaac said, that people shall serve him and nations shall bow down to him, is applicable to the precious Lord Jesus Christ, who came forth from Jacob. For unto him there would be a gathering of people that would serve him, and likewise he would be king over his church, and many would be serving this precious Christ, and nations would bow down before him. Yea, he is the king of the universe, and all nations are subject unto him and to his ruling. Jacob then would be blessed in this, that from him would come the glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. And he likewise would be Lord over his brethren. This meant that he would be Lord over Esau and his posterity. These people were called the Edomites, those that descended from Esau. And they were a powerful people. They were a very turbulent people. They were a people that were ready for war at an instant. And these people, they likewise would be subservient to Jacob's seed. They never would get to dominion over Israel, over Jacob's seed. But they would be servants to them. At times they did break the yoke that Israel had upon them, but not completely. This promise then that even his brethren would serve him likewise was fulfilled in due time. These blessings were great for such a creature such as Jacob revealed himself to be. God then infused into the heart of Isaac by his Holy Spirit that he should bless him. And while he was blessing him, he had such faith to believe that what he spake would certainly take place. And just after he got done blessing him, and Jacob had hardly departed from him, then there came in Esau, who had been hunting. And he likewise had prepared venison and made himself savory meat for his father. And he came in and spake unto his father, Arise, father, and eat of the venison that I have brought unto thee. Who art thou? He says. And Jacob trembled. Isaac trembled when Esau spake unto him in this way. You can imagine what was going on in Isaac. He had just got finished blessing Esau, he thought. And here now stood Esau. Oh, this man, Isaac. He did not know what to say for a moment or two. And he said, Who, where is he that hath been here and who, of whom I have eaten and whom I have blessed, and he shall be blessed. Oh, it was Jacob that had been before him. And he was so sure now that the blessing that he had spoken out over whoever he was would sure come down upon him. Oh, he did not dare retract that blessing that he had been speaking out over Jacob, thinking that it was Esau. And now when Esau heard the words of his father, then Esau, he began to cry with a very bitter cry. Father, he says, bless me also. Bless me also. Isaac, of course, he could not bless his son Esau like he had blessed the one before him. He spake unto Esau and said, I have made him lord over you and your brethren, and I have fed him with corn and wine and with the dew from heaven. And what shall I give unto you, Esau? And then Esau lifted up his voice and wept and said, Father, hast thou but one blessing? Bless me also. This man Esau, he was very desirous now for a blessing. He wept. He lifted up his voice. He raised a bitter cry. The apostle says that he came and was desirous to have the blessing, but was rejected, even though he sought a place of repentance with tears. Was Esau now sorry that he had sold his birthright to Jacob? Was this why he was crying? Was he sorry now because he had lost the blessings of God that had been pronounced upon Jacob? Not at all, my dear. You know what he tried to do? He tried to move his father with his tears, with his cries, that his father likewise would give him a blessing. He didn't care what kind of a blessing. He wasn't looking for these blessings that were everlasting. He was just looking for a blessing as a man that he was and a character he was. What was he? He was a worldly person. And this is what he wanted to have, that the Lord would, through the mouth of Isaac, bless him also with the blessings of this life. Not with the blessings of God, not with the blessings of the church, the blessings of grace, the blessings that were connected with the blessing of Abraham and Isaac. He just wanted to be blessed in this way, that he would have it good in this life. People mistake this. They think that Esau was sorry now because he had sold his birthright and he had lost these spiritual blessings. No, he was not my heirs. He had no intention of receiving them and no desire for them. He showed that when he sold his birthright. He despised it. And he went on despising it, my hearers. Now there are many like Esau. Oh, so many. They despise the blessings of God. Spiritual blessings. Many, they live on in this life, seeking after everything that they can get out of this life. They care not about God. They care not about his word. They care not about Jesus. They care not about salvation. Their only object is to become something in this world and to have riches and plenty and to live of the fat of the land. And oh, I am sure, very sure, that the time is coming that such creatures will likewise lift up a bitter cry. Oh, how they will weep, how they will shed tears. But when it comes to the time when they realize what they have missed, that they never had sought it, never had asked for it, never had a desire for it. Oh, then they will cry. In that great day of accounts, my hearers, there will be so many that will cry, Lord, Lord. But he will say, I have never known thee. Open up unto us. But he will not. Oh, they will be rejected, just as Esau was rejected in receiving the blessing, even though he wept bitter tears for it, we would say. So, my hearers, there will be so many that will be rejected by God for this, that they have never sought and never desired the true blessings connected with the covenant of grace. This man Esau, he begged his father to bless him, and now his father did. His father said, thou shalt receive of the fatness of the earth and from the dew of heaven. And thou shalt live by thy sword, and thou shalt be a subject that shall serve thy brother. Esau then, he would be blessed providentially. He would have much, and he was blessed. He was blessed with the fatness of this earth. And this fatness of this earth was dependent upon the dew that I've been speaking about. God blessed the land and the dew came down and it yielded likewise for Esau. Now this would have been satisfactory enough unto Esau had not Isaac said, thou shalt be a servant to thy brother. This is what he didn't want. This is what he hated. Oh, that he should be subject to his brother. And now after Isaac had finished blessing Esau, then we read that Esau hated Jacob for the blessing that his father had pronounced upon him. You see in this that he wasn't sorry. You see in this that he wasn't repentant.
You see that in this man, there was hatred, there was enmity. And what did he say in himself? The days of mourning for my father are come. I will slay my brother Jacob. He got murder in his heart. This is where his enmity and his hatred led him to. He comforted himself with that thought that he would kill his brother. In this respect, he was like Cain and Abel. Cain, he envied Abel because of the blessings that God showered down upon him. So Esau, he envied Jacob because he realized that God had a favor towards him in the way that his father had blessed him, and that he could not retract these blessings, that they were from above. Therefore, Esau hated his brother Jacob. He went around with murder in his heart. My hearers, he had nothing else but the devil in his heart. That's what he had. There was no grace to be seen in this man Esau. And now he must have left this out to one of the persons that lived with Isaac, and it came to the ears of Rebekah. That Esau comforted himself with that thought, I'll kill my brother. He did not intend to kill his brother until his father died. The days of mourning for my father, when they're past, then I'll kill my brother. He didn't want to grieve his father before he died. This is the way the commentary takes it. If you read it, you would say, well, the days of mourning for my father are near at hand because he was going to kill his brother. But the commentary says, no, he didn't want to do this while his father was living. He thought his father was soon going to die because his father said he wanted to bless him before he died, and he had the opinion that he was going to die soon. But he didn't. Isaac didn't die until 43 years later. He was 137 years of age when he blessed Jacob and Esau, and he lived yet 43 years longer. He became 180. So he was wrong in his opinion that soon his father would die. You know, many wicked people, they harbor enmity and rebellion in their hearts against somebody, but they're waiting for the time. And sometimes it's so long that they forget all about what they had went through. And they have it no more in them to do it. So it went with Esau. It was a long time before his father died. And therefore, he did not take his brother's life because his brother was warned by his own mother to flee. My time is gone, Mike. I hope what I have been instructing you in may be made of a benefit to your immortal souls, so that we may not be like Rebekah or like Jacob and deceive people. For God sees us at all times. And our hearts are so deceitful, they would even deceive us for a never-ending eternity. God use it to his honor, to his glory. That's all for today.
Clifton, New Jersey, Netherland Reformed Congregation Bible Class Lesson for Adults, January 12, 1969.
Our lesson today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, and part of the 32nd chapter. We left off speaking to you last week how that Rebekah warned her son Jacob of his immediate death if he did not flee to her brother Laban, because Esau had purposed in his heart to kill Jacob because he had taken away, in the first place, his birthright and likewise the blessing. And therefore, Rebekah wanted to send Jacob far away for the time being. She said unto him, go to my brother Laban and tarry there a while until your brother's fury and anger subside, and then I will send for you, and then you can come back to your house again.